Greetings, you beautiful humans. This is Glenn Klein Online. It's hump day, Wednesday, August 8th, 2007, the only August 8th, 2007 in the history of humanity. Welcome in on this webcast Wednesday night. I have so much news for you, you beautiful humans. I hope you will stop and pay attention. First of all, you'll be happy to know that we are awaiting the phone call of Mr. Michael Williams, who is jetting back from his very successful journey to Hoosierland, where he spoke last week in Indiana, last weekend actually. But Michael's flight was not getting in until 8:05 Central Time. So, Lord willing, if the creek don't rise, his flight will be getting in just as we begin this edition of Glenn Klein Online. We also have some special guests tonight. We also will be taking your emails. We still have only the two lines available, so between our guests and hopefully Michael calling in later on in the webcast, that we will be using those two lines. But we will be taking your email questions and comments at webcast@gospelrevolution.com. That's webcast@gospelrevolution.com. Would love to know that you could hear me tonight, because I've got a little story to tell you, ladies and gentlemen. I have moved to Wisconsin, not permanently, but just as a commuter. About a year ago, I was recontacted by a guy that used to work for me at the summer camp Don and I owned in northern Wisconsin, and had not heard from this fella for 13 years. And we rehooked up and hit it off very much, like we had never lost any time at all between us. And so we just have a grand time regathering and getting to know each other. And then he understood, his name is Cody, he understood that I do life coaching and mentoring and motivational speaking. And so he invited me into his company to speak to his plant workers and his management team last fall, almost a year ago. It'll be here this October. And so I went there every quarter, and I do speaking for other people and consulting and whatnot. And then there was an opportunity to literally become the full-time life coach for this company in northern Wisconsin. It's called Birchwood Lumber and Veneer. And so I took that opportunity. Now, many of you beautiful humans know that I have a home in northern Wisconsin, but this is about 2 hours from my home, this company in this place called Birchwood, Wisconsin. They employ about 250 people, and in a town of about 518, there's people that live in other areas besides Birchwood. And so, because I will literally be commuting between northern Wisconsin and Tampa now, I had to get some sort of place to put my feet up and to be able to leave a toothbrush. So, what I did was got an ad from the local paper, and I am looking out at right now at a large sea of corn that is buttressed up against the backyard of the bedroom that I am renting. It kind of looks like the Field of Dreams. If you ever saw that Kevin Costner movie, that you would know kind of what it looks like, because it's a green grass and then just corn as far as the eye can see. And I got this little bedroom in the basement, and so we're hooked up. I'm online tonight with you. This is Glenn Klein Online. It's been quite the journey. I drove up my truck from Florida with my son Joe two weeks ago today. Time flies when you're having fun. But so I drove up with him. He flew back to Tampa, and I have been on this journey and have been life coaching and mentoring and speaking for the last couple of days, last several days, as a matter of fact. But I'm here with you tonight. We want to get your emails. Patrick, if you could email me and let me know that everything is okie-dokie. And also, I just got an email from our first guest, George Howell, that he cannot get through on the line. Perhaps both lines aren't activated right now. But if you could let me know that everything is copacetic, Patrick L. Jones, who is in our Glenn Klein Online studios in beautiful Tampa, Florida, that would be a wonderful thing. Webcast@gospelrevolution.com is the email address. We're going to be getting to all your questions and comments, as hopefully we will hear from Michael as he gets back in from Indianapolis. He actually was in the rural area, literally Hoosier Land, and he's got some great stories to tell. So you'll definitely want to be staying tuned for that as we go down the road on this webcast known as Glenn Klein Online. Now, we have quite a few questions, but this gives me an opportunity before we get on with our guests to tell you beautiful humans, when you guys write us, first of all, this is the main way we communicate with you. We get a question from you sent to the gospelrevolution.com website or webcast at gospelrevolution.com, and this is the way we respond. We take your questions online, and then we respond. But many of you have so much to articulate and say, and we appreciate what you have to say, but we really don't generally have time to deal with long questions. So what we would ask you to do is to keep your questions relatively brief. I mean, just a couple of sentences. And that way, we can get to the gist of your question and try to get to the point of your question right away. And then, as always, leave your us your name and where you're listening from. We have people that are logged in literally from all over the world, and they're interested to hear what you have to say and what your questions are. Because chances are, if you thought of a question, they probably did too. So we want everybody's participation at webcast@gospelrevolution.com, webcast@gospelrevolution.com. It is a Wednesday night. This is Glenn Klein Online, and we are going to be starting off with a question which came to us actually during our last webcast, and we just did not get a chance to get to it. So I'm going to take this question here that was sent on July 25th from Robert in Morganton, North Carolina. He says, Glenn and Mike, what is your opinion about the divinity of Jesus? Is he the Son of God only, or is he the Father, the one God, or is he the firstborn of many sons? What say ye? This is Robert from Morgantown or Morganton, North Carolina. Always glad to hear from you, Robert. Good question. I mean, what is your opinion of the divinity of Jesus? Well, obviously, I'm going to give you my opinion. I think it very much mirrors Michael's opinion because we've talked about it quite a few times. And that is that the Bible says that in the beginning was God, was the Word, if you will. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Well, we know that the New Testament writings describe Jesus, or Yeshua, if you will, in the Hebrew, as the Word of God. So clearly, right from the get-go, you have Jesus, who is described as the Word of God, telling us through the Bible that, yes, indeed, he is equal to God. And really what happened at the cross is that God, for whatever reason, created himself in the form of a man. And he decided that he would, I'm going to just interrupt right now. Patrick, I know you're listening to me. George Howell is trying to call in, and he's got 800-436-3260. Are we having a problem with the second line? Is the second line available? George, I know you're listening, so we're going to get this figured out real quick-like, and we will be right back with you on that. So just stay tuned, George, and everybody else stay tuned as well. Anyway, what I was saying was that God just made a decision that he would create the first Adam out of the earth. And so he took man, literally, as we know the story in the book of Genesis, literally from the earth. And so, and then what happened? Of course, Adam made his faux pas, be rather casual with what actually happened. And he sins in the Garden of Eden. But eventually, the second Adam comes, and his name shall be called Joshua, or in Hebrew, Yeshua. The Greeks made it Jesus. Remember, Jesus is not Jesus' name. What do you mean by that, Glenn? Well, his name in Hebrew was Yeshua. When the angel came to Miriam, who was also a Jewish girl, and you are highly favored above all women, and you're going to have a boy, and you're going to have a son, and his name is going to be not Jesus, Yeshua. for he shall save his people from their sin. Literally, Yeshua, Joshua, in Hebrew, literally means salvation. But how did God deliver the second Adam? He didn't take that seed, if you will, from a potentially polluted planet like he did Adam. He laid the seed. The seed of the Holy Spirit somehow came into Mary, Miriam, if you will, and you know the rest of the story. So the question is Jesus divine? Is Yeshua, Joshua, divine? And I would have to say, in my opinion, and this is the only opinion that I can have is mine, is yes, he is equal with God. They're God, just like humanity. Remember, we were created in the image of God, and clearly man and women are three or tripartite beings. We are body, we are soul, we are spirit. Our body is literally our physical body. That, if you will, in the analogy with God, that could represent Jesus. And we are soul. We have emotions. We have memory. We have intellect. This is our soul. This is a thinking process. When the Bible talks about us being saved, it literally means being the cleansing of our soul, the cleansing of our mind. And so we have that as two-thirds of our tripartite being. But we have our spirit, too. And the spirit person is the one that has intercourse with God, if you will. I mean, our soul is being saved. Slowly but ever surely. This is a process. Salvation does not happen, ladies and gentlemen, when you come to an understanding that Jesus is the Messiah. Even though that's what the preachers preach, the evangelical Christian church, if you will, they preach that you must accept Christ, you're redeemed, and you're saved at the same time. That's not what happens. That's not what the Bible says. That's not what is understandable. The Bible says that on the day of the cross, that incredible day of the cross, that Yeshua, Jesus, he redeemed the earth from their sin. And that was a done deal. Everybody is redeemed. Everybody, therefore, is righteous in the sight of God. But obviously, everybody doesn't know that they are. Knowing that you are, knowing how God used you, knowing what Yeshua did 2,000 years ago, and really the Bible says that God, before he formed the foundations of the earth, had made a decision to crucify Christ. So this decision was made a long time ago. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Well, the way you can look at that is that the Word, Jesus said, I am the Word, and is representing Jesus, and that God, the Father, is God, and of course the Holy Spirit is always with God. In the same way that we are body, soul, and spirit, we are a tripartite creation. You can look at the God that way too, and we do. So the answer to your question, Robert, is that yes, indeed, we believe that Yeshua is, or Jesus is God. This is Glenn Klein Online. It's a Wednesday night. We're waiting for Michael Williams to call us. And we'll be taking your questions and your email comments tonight at webcast@gospelrevolution.com. That's webcast@gospelrevolution.com. And I believe we have everything straightened out, which is a beautiful thing on this Wednesday night. So we want to welcome online right now Mr. George Howell. George!
Hey, Glenn. How you doing?
I have no complaints, but thank you for caring enough to ask.
Well, maybe I don't really care. Well, yeah, I do care.
How are you tonight?
If I was any better, brother, I'd be you.
That's a beautiful thing, George. Where are you calling from? Where do you reside?
Well, I live about 25 miles south of the home of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yes, Pittsburgh, former Super Bowl champion.
Yes, former Steelers. Super Bowl champion.
Yeah, are people pretty excited about Mike Tomlin and taking over for Bill Cowher there in Steelerland?
Well, I don't know about most people, but I am. We were really excited that we got a young guy and not some retread like some teams.
That's right. They took and that's just how Bill Cowher, of course, took over for the legendary Chuck Knoll, who had won all those Super Bowls with the Steelers. And now they got Mike Tomlin, who was a defensive coordinator with the Minnesota Vikings. See, we can talk about sports now, George, because Mike's not here right now.
Oh, man. Well, yeah, he probably wouldn't partake too much of sports, I guess.
No, but if you're talking about Broadway shows, he's really into that. This is Glenn Klein Online on a Wednesday night. We're talking with George Howell just outside Pittsburgh, PA. George, give the folks a little bit of an idea what your background is and how you came across what we believe is the true and only gospel.
Well, Glenn, I was part of the Church of Christ, the independent...
George, you there?
Yes, you hello?
Hello.
Hello, you there? Hello? Can you hear me?
I wonder if I'm there.
Hello?
George, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
All right, we had George for... There he is.
Hey, I'm here.
Okay, did you hear the question?
Yes, I did.
Okay, well, tell us about how you got into this whole thing.
Well, for about a year, my doctrine told me after that that she was going to hell, and that didn't sit well. So I began to search out just what I did believe. And as a result, I started running across Ultimate Reconciliation sites. But that just didn't hit completely with me, and I couldn't figure out why. And then it just so happened I ran across the man, Michael Williams. And
how did you do that?
Well, just doing web searches every day. I was lucky at the time. I was off of work for about 2 years, just being a house husband. My wife worked at the post office, so it allowed me to be home. And for 2 years, I took care of the house. And during the day, I would do, you know, studying about what I believed. And it was really a blessing time being able to do that. But anyway, like I said, I ran across Michael's site just doing web searches. And started listening to a few of the things from Gospel Logic site. And as most people that I think come to this, when you first start to read it, you think, well, you put it down for a while because this can't be true. But something magically draws you back to it, Glenn. Something magically happens, and you come back and you pick it up and you read a little bit more and you listen a little bit more. And this went on for about 6 months until finally I was accepting of the way and the things that Michael teaches. And I was accepting it totally.
And I was How long ago was this?
This was about 3 years ago now that I finally started to accept it.
Uh-huh.
And so when I did finally start to accept it, it just so happened, I hadn't checked up all of Gospel Revolution website altogether. So I'm poking around in there, and I found a letter from Michael. And, of course, it announced... his sexuality.
Right.
And at the time, I was still basically a young in grace, and I was mad as hell because I believed...
You were mad because of the guy that was delivering this wonderful message of the grace of God had a different sexual orientation than yourself.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
And my old mindset told me the only reason he was teaching this is because it freed him. And
right.
So I was mad as hell. I stomped around for probably 2 or 3 weeks, just mad as hell. You know, now I can't believe this. And it just clearly one day, Glenn, it came to me in my spirit that truth is not established by the speaker or the sexuality of the speaker. Truth is established by itself.
But that's exactly the opposite, of course, as to what the church teaches. I mean, if you, oh my God, I mean, look what happened to Ted Haggard.
Yes,
when it came out that he lost everything.
Yeah.
And the church condemns people for their action and doesn't believe in the efficacy of the grace of God.
Yep.
They don't believe that Jesus can redeem them from sin.
Yep.
Excuse me, that Jesus has redeemed them from sin.
Yeah. Yep.
And so basically what you're telling me is about 3 years ago, you came out of that religious mindset, and then what happened to you?
Well, and then, like I said, once that came to my mind that God uses the truth, and it doesn't, the speaker doesn't matter. If the speaker mattered, something's wrong. And I heard Michael say something one time. As a matter of fact, he said it this past weekend in Indiana, that if, when your heart is better than your doctrine, follow your heart. And
Michael says that a lot. That's such good advice, ladies and gentlemen. If your doctrine is more harsh than what's in your heart, the doctrine's not so good.
Exactly. So, you know, just poking around and felt good for a while, and you know, I had this grace for myself. I wasn't really talking with much people about it, and would mention it to my wife now and then, and she just bristled at the, you know, listening to it. So I wouldn't talk. You know, I just felt in my spirit, okay, let her come to her own beliefs as I have. And long story short, over the last 3 years, my wife has come to the exact same place that I am without any teaching from me.
How did you do that?
because her heart is kinder than her doctrine was.
Right.
And she says today, you know, we had a wonderful time in Indiana with Mike the past 3 days.
So you were there. You were
oh,
with
yeah.
the church. And
oh, yeah.
That was good stuff, huh?
Oh, it was. I tell you what, Glenn, and maybe I'm blowing smoke, but I come from the Church of Christ, and I don't know if you know the Church of Christ background, but there was a meeting back in the 1800s called Cane Ridge, at Cane Ridge, Kentucky, where the Church of Christ basically started. And a lot of amazing things happened there, but in the Church of Christ history and in religious history, I mean, it's a big thing that happened at Cane Ridge. I honestly believe, Glenn, that 100 years from now, there's going to be stories written about a little gathering that took place in Indiana. I really believe that. I you know, for the first time in my life, I mean, I can see headlines in the papers. This grace is so awesome. I can see headlines in the papers 150 years from now celebrating the 50-year anniversary of no wars in the world. I really
believe. Well, I'm glad you can, George, because that's called being a visionary. If that were to happen, for the sake of discussion, what do you think would cause the ceasing of hostilities between warring parties that, as I said at the outset of this webcast, are basically all religiously based?
Yes, yes.
What would cause a spiritual tsunami like that to occur, do you think?
Well, can I give you one example?
Please do.
Monday morning we were leaving Indiana and we stopped at a Bob Evans restaurant for breakfast. And mm-hmm. on the way to the seat, the hostess, I said, "How are you doing?" "Oh, I'm doing great. I'm blessed. You know, but I'm going to school, and, you know, it's tough work." And I said, "Well, what are you going to school for?" She said, "To be a drug counselor." She said, "I was a drug addict for 35 years. I said, "Oh, really?"
Mm-hmm.
I said, "How did you come out of it?" "Well, you know," she starts with the Christianese.
And right.
It just so happens that she's in the Catholic Church, and her father was a Catholic deacon in the church, a lay deacon. And so I told her, I said, "Well, you know, honey," I said, "you're perfect. Even in the midst of those 35 years of drug addiction, you were perfect." And she goes, "Oh, no, I couldn't, no, that's, I know." I said, "Oh, yes, you were." So we talked real nice about different things, and she walked off, and my wife said, "She's going to be back within 2 minutes. Glenn, it was less than 2 minutes the lady come back and started asking questions.
Really?
And we started talking again. And I told her of her perfectness in Christ. And the change in this woman, steeped in Catholic doctrine, hearing for the first time that she is perfect, she is righteous and holy. And not only is she righteous and holy now that she doesn't do drugs, but in the middle of all that drug addiction, she was righteous and holy. Her countenance and her whole face was different when we left the place.
Mm-hmm.
And Glenn, I
honestly where did you meet her at?
It was at a Bob Evans restaurant.
Indiana?
Yeah, in Indiana. In Richmond, Indiana. You know what's funny about this gospel is that when I believed everybody was going to hell, I didn't speak to nobody. But now that I believe that the world has been redeemed, I can't keep my damn mouth shut.
That's cool. You know, I used to talk, as many of you beautiful humans who listen to this webcast on a regular basis will not be surprised here. When I was in the evangelical church in a messianic Jewish believer, if you will, and a minister, I used to tell people about it all the time. But you only could talk to so many people. I'd be driving down the highway, George, or going to a ball game or a concert or whatever, and I would literally think the vast majority of people that are in this convocation, this arena, are going straight to hell.
Oh, man.
And what am I doing here watching a hockey game?
Yeah, exactly. What are you doing enjoying
this
yourself?
This is much better. I like this because my heart couldn't believe that, of course.
Right, right.
And as you said, eventually, my doctrine, if you will, caught up with my heart. No, God is no respecter of persons, the Bible says.
Thank God.
And then everybody gets in. So are you in touch with this waitress? I mean, did you invite her to the meeting? What did you do?
Well, the meetings were over. I gave her my address, my phone number, you know, the website address, and told her, you know, if there's anything we could ever do for her. And, you know, I guess in days past, I could have said the Lord led me to give her a huge tip, but I'm not going to say the Lord led me, but we gave her a sizable tip. And
that's awesome. It's always a good idea anyway.
Yeah, it is. But
if you've ever been in the service industry, you'll appreciate that.
Yeah, it was probably as much as she made it for her shift of working, and that's you know, that's neither here nor there. But it's funny because when you start to feel the gospel and acceptance in your heart, you really start to want to give. You know, of yourself, of your time, of your money, of everything that you have, because the gospel is really that good.
And have you been able to share this gospel with your father-in-law?
No. And see, that's one of the things that because of him being with this other woman, he married this other woman, by the way. And my wife really hasn't had any contact with him for the last 3 years. And, you know, he's a very toxic individual. But coming back, my wife says, you know, she says, I'm starting to realize that maybe I can see myself having contact with my dad again.
Well, and suicide is a major manifestation of a serious mental illness.
Oh,
obviously a lot of religious folks and a lot of people who aren't religious have their significant others have affairs on them.
Right.
They don't commit suicide.
Yeah. And
so
I
it's very difficult. Go ahead.
No, it's a horrid thing to happen to a family.
Yeah, it's, you know, and I've known, I knew a young man, just a couple of weeks ago who strangled himself to death.
Oh, gosh.
And people say, well, he was so happy. Well, it's not about happiness.
No.
If you have a serious brain imbalance, chemical imbalance in your brain,
yes,
and it malfunctions, this is the ultimate manifestation of mental illness. And so, you know, maybe at some point, George, your wife will feel like reaching out to her. That's her dad, right?
Yes, her dad. And I believe it's the day is coming, Glenn. I mean, there's a lot of other things in his life, that have went on. I mean, he molested my wife's sister, and we believe that he's molested other people. I mean, it's
not good.
Yeah, it's not good.
He was steeped in religiosity as well.
Oh, absolutely. He was an elder in the same church that I was an elder in. He was an elder in that church for probably 40 years. Actually, he was what they called an elder for life. You know, they gave him an honorary title. He was an elder for life. Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
I like that.
Boy, how we love titles, don't we?
Well, actually, you know, we're all elders for life.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
We're all part of the priesthood. That's what the Bible says, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking with George Howell tonight from Pennsylvania. Mike Williams is getting back from the meeting. He actually went down to the home office in Albany after the meeting in Indiana, and his flight apparently is delayed because he was going to call in. But we're happy to talk to George tonight, so we're taking your emails at webcast@gospelrevolution.com. That's webcast@gospelrevolution.com. So how does your wife end up, you know, coming to this conclusion? Did she hear any of Mike's tapes, or she just heard what you had to say, and then she came to it herself? How did that happen?
I really don't know. I don't know, because she doesn't like listening to tapes. You know, I tried to slip Mike's stuff in here and there, and, you know, she'd listen here and there, but she doesn't like listening to sermons. But I can tell you, she had a blast this weekend.
She did?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
How long a drive was it for you?
It's about a five-hour drive for us over to Indy, you know, over to Strawn, Indiana.
So it was worth it. It was worth a 10-hour round trip.
It was so worth it. Also, I wanted to can I give a plug?
Absolutely.
Okay. We have a website, boldgrace.com. And if the listeners will go...
Spell that.
BOLDGRACE.
Mm-hmm.
BoldGrace.com. If your listeners will go there, they can see the pictures of the gathering in Indiana, plus they can download all of the sessions that we had. And I tell you what, Michael was...
Wait a second, George. We want to sell those.
Well, maybe I shouldn't have.
No, I'm just kidding. Of course, we want to share it all. Absolutely. That's fantastic.
Let me also put a plug in that if you do download, please consider sending Mike a few dollars, if you would, please.
Yes, you can do that at gospelrevolution.com, everybody. That's webcast@gospelrevolution.com. So you met some nice folks down there?
We met some of the most amazing. You know, for lack of a better term, we had the whole spectrum of people. And when I say spectrum, we had fat people, skinny people, you know, people that climb on rocks. We had tall people, short people. We had black people. We had white people. We had straights. We had gays. We even had preachers. And we had one marvelous speaker, and that was Michael Williams. And
he can rock it out, can he?
To see the love that we had, I guess there was probably about 35 or 40 people there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's amazing, Glenn, when people come together for the first time, they've never known each other. You know, in my church days, when we got together, it was like, you know, I went to church with people for 30 years and didn't know them. We got together this
right.
weekend, and the 35 people that were there, it was like we've known each other since birth.
Why do you think that is, George? Why do you think that people are so reticent to actually want to know the real you?
I think it's because we have known each other from birth, Glenn. I think that spark has been in us waiting just to be nurtured and for someone or something to pour water on it and to give it light. And, boy, I tell you what, I can't say enough how good news the gospel is.
Yeah, it's pretty good news. And Michael says it this way, I love it, that there is no bad news in the gospel. So if there's bad news in the message, it ain't the gospel.
Yeah, he talked this weekend about, you know, beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news, and that if a messenger of God is not bringing you the good news, then he hasn't been sent of God.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you know if a person has been sent from God, is they bring good news. Not bad news, they bring good news.
And, of course, people would say, well, you know, there is good news because you get a chance at, you know, getting into the kingdom, if you will.
You know, traditional evangelical Christianity, which I used to believe in, has the most weak and beggarly God that I've ever known. He has no power.
Exactly.
He requires man, mere man, in order to complete his plan. And I'm sorry, I can't believe in a weak and beggarly God like that anymore.
Well, when you think about it, I mean, literally, if Jesus came to give everybody an opportunity for salvation and redemption and didn't just do it, then literally people are more powerful than the God is.
Yeah.
Because they're the ones making the eternal decisions,
yeah.
Not God. And that's as old as the Garden of Eden. That was the temptation that the serpent tempted Eve with. You know, you're going to be like God.
Yes.
And that's we've been making the same mistake in religion since the Garden of Eden. It's really outrageous when you think about it.
Well, you know, I don't know if I'd asked you this before, Glenn, but you being a Jewish man, growing up a Jew, you know, my contention is that most people. The Jews do not believe because Christians don't believe. The Jews, this is my view. The Jews see the Christians looking for a Messiah to come, and Jews know that the Messiah was going to come and wipe away the tear from every eye. So therefore, if the Christian Jesus is coming back again, he can't be the true Messiah because he didn't do the job.
Well, that's how some Jews look at it. Don't forget that the vast majority of persecutions that the Jews have faced for the last 2,000 years has been done in the name of Christ, for goodness sake.
Good Lord.
I mean, you'd be hard-pressed to believe in anything that somebody heralded and then wiped out, you know, the vast majority of your ancestors.
Mm.
It's kind of messed up.
Yeah, and you know, thank God that he did a complete work. And that even that, and it's unspeakable what happened to the Jewish people. Even that has been redeemed. I mean,
right,
that,
and now, and of course,
God.
And what the evangelical Christian church teaches is that Jesus is going to have this return on the Mount of Olives, which already took place. We've had many webcasts. We've talked about that in the book of Revelation and all that.
Sure.
What they believe is that God has regathered Israel back into at least the semblance of what was the land of the Bible, only to set them up for the Antichrist, only to set them up for what they interpret as the time of Jacob's trouble. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. The time of Jacob's trouble was the time of the cross. Jesus said that all things in the Psalms, in the prophets, in the law, was about him. So when the prophets foretold the time of Jacob's trouble, yes, that was an incredibly horrific time for the lineage of Jacob. Guess who was in the lineage of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and David, and Solomon? It was Joshua, Yeshua, Jesus. That was literally a prophecy about the cross. But the prophets foretold the day that Israel and all the world would be redeemed through the Redeemer of the world, not somebody who would give you a chance to believe and maybe a get-out-of-jail card. This was George, you would think somewhere in the Old Testament, we call the Old Testament writings. They didn't call it the Old Testament. We do.
Right.
They called it the Holy Scriptures. They called it the Word of God, if you will. But what we call the Old Testament, you would think it would be in somewhere that the Messiah would come out of Zion to give people an opportunity to be redeemed. It never says it. It is definitive in there that he will save his people from their sin, and that means his people being all of humanity, past, present, and future.
You know, that thought of a chance anymore is just so absurd to me. So absurd. Glenn, can I ask you one question? Do you know if...
You can ask me more than one question.
Do you know if Cliff Hazelbaker has been trying to get on?
I have absolutely no idea.
Okay.
Here's what I am going to say, though. Cliff, because we are plugged up with two lines only tonight, if you folks were with us from the outset of this webcast, you know we're having some technical difficulties. So, Cliff, if you are listening online right now, if you could email me at webcast@gospelrevolution.com, that's webcast@gospelrevolution.com, then we can say goodnight to George and bring you on. And I appreciate that very much, George.
Yeah.
So, Cliff, if you're listening right now, just email me at webcast@gospelrevolution.com. We'll say goodnight to George and talk to Cliff.
Yeah,
Cliff was...
If he comes on, just tell me bye and I'll hang up.
You're going to have to get off the phone. But.
Yeah, I really want you to have a chance and your audience to have a chance to listen to Cliff Hazelbaker. Cliff Hazelbaker has caused me to rethink the pastor. You know, I felt for the last 3 or 4 years that there was no such thing as a pastor, but Cliff Hazelbaker has caused me to rethink that position.
Well, I'm sure Michael told you folks about his pastor too.
Yeah,
John Adair in Houston.
You know, Michael helped me so much when I was down in Houston with him in May. You know, talking about you know, we almost have to lay everything down in order to find out who Jesus is. And then once we lay everything down and understand the gospel of grace and peace, we can go back and examine the things that we laid aside and see if we can pick them up. See if we can pick them up now in grace. You know,
some things you want to pick up, but certainly if we're saying that you can drink, smoke, and chew and hang around with girls that do,
matter of fact, I had a beer before you called.
Yeah, I mean, if you can say that, certainly you can say, well, you can go to church, you can have a pastor, you can do it, you can speak in tongues, you can do whatever you want to do.
You know
it's
what?
It's just that
you can even give money again.
Yeah.
Did you hear what I said? You can even give money again. Because I know
you can even leave a big whopping tip for a server in Indiana.
And you can even give to the Gospel Revolution if you desire.
That would be grand. That would be absolutely grand.
I had to get that.
Yes, we appreciate that commercial. We, as always, are encouraging you folks to go to the gospelrevolution.com website, make a donation, let us know what you can do on a monthly basis. And as George said, you can go to his website at boldgrace.com. And everything from the weekend that just was in Indiana is there, free and postage paid, if you will. But if you do, and you listen to the series that Mike taught in Indiana, why not make a donation and help this cause along? So Cliff was the guy that organized this whole thing in Indiana, wasn't he?
Well, it was Cliff, Bruce Dragonjack, who is my neighbor about an hour from me, and Steve West. Steve is in West Virginia. Steve didn't get a chance to come, but it was the four of us that we came together and said, you know, let's do something. And then we don't know. And it's like, yeah, let's do something. But Cliff's church, Strong Community Chapel, they hosted the whole event. And for a lot of us, it was the first time we've been back in a church in probably 4 or 5 years, in a church building.
Well, I just got an email from Cliff, George, and we're going to have you hang up, and then we'll get Cliff on here for a few minutes. Thank you so much.
Love you, brother. Love everybody.
Hey, listen, thanks for your patience with all the technical problems.
Man, no problem. We'll talk to you later, brother.
All right, George. That's George Howell, ladies and gentlemen, from the great state of Pennsylvania, who was at the Grace Gathering with Cliff Hazelbecker, who was hosting it. And we're going to be talking to Cliff momentarily as soon as Cliff. So we're going to ask Cliff to call the toll-free line that you have, Cliff, 1-800-436-3260. And we'll go over a few minutes tonight because of the voluminous amounts of technical difficulties we had in the first 20 minutes or so. This is Patrick. Just let me know. You can just come on, buddy, and let me know when Cliff's there, and we will be ready to rock and roll with Cliff Hazelbecker. And by the way, beautiful humans, it's not difficult to have Michael come to your hometown. You know, all you got to do is just go to the GospelRevolution.com webpage, click on Invite Mike, and you will have an opportunity to have Mike into your home. Now, you heard George say that there were 35 or 40 people there. You don't have to, you can just have Michael come to your family. We want to have opportunities to share this gospel. Invite some folks over to your house. We've got upcoming meetings in Canada that we'll be letting you know about the exact dates. We're just waiting on a confirmation about a meeting in Wisconsin later on in this fall. But just go to the gospelrevolution.com website. And just email us, let us know you want to have Mike, and we'll get the process rolling. I mean, he's literally gone all over the planet. And as we've said before, the Redemption of the World Series, which was a three-tape teaching, was done in my living room with maybe a half a dozen people in attendance. And that thing has gone all over the world. And, Patrick, do we have Cliff? We're looking for Cliff Hazelbecker, who was the host of the Grace Gathering. Do we have him?
Yeah.
Okay, Cliff, can you hear me? Hello, Cliff.
Hello, Glenn.
How are you this evening?
I'm just finer than frog hair, buddy.
Life is good. What are you?
I'm finer than frog hair. I guess that's an old Midwestern expression.
I like that. I finer than frog hair. I like that a lot. Well, as you probably surmised, if you were listening, Cliff, we have some technical difficulties, but we wanted to get you on and let folks know how was the weekend with Michael there in Indiana.
Well, I'll tell you, I've been through a lot of highs and lows in my life, and been to workshops and we've all been to those kinds of things that just left us on a cloud. But this was different. I wouldn't call it that same type of thing. It was such a feeling of peace, not being on that high cloud of emotion, but a feeling of oneness, that you just knew that you were doing something that the Creator intended from the very beginning. And it was just a fantastic weekend. My wife and I actually, as we left the church after the final thing was over, we were driving back to Richmond, and we both just started crying, and it was just tears of joy. We just felt that overwhelmed with a peace. And Mike was, as usual, unbelievable, did a great job, and I think for me, on a lot of levels, my four adult children were there, and got to hear Mike, and you know, they hear their dad talk about this stuff, and they follow it and they believe it. But seeing them sit in the pew and listen to Mike with an intensity that just it just made a father proud. I mean, they fell in love with him and fell in love with his gospel, and I think they know why their dad's been so excited about this stuff for a long time.
That's awesome. Now, what George said, who came with his wife from Pennsylvania, and I understand he had people like from four different states there.
Yeah.
He said that this weekend, amongst other things, made him rethink the possibility of having a pastor involved in this gospel. Why don't you tell the beautiful humans, Cliff, exactly what your situation is there in Indiana, how that you can have a church that actually believes in the redemption of all humanity?
Well, I think it was a perfect setup for me. I had pastored there for 11 years earlier, and I've always worked a full-time job on top of that. And during those 11 years, and that started in 86, I just preached a great deal about love. I did not push this gospel because I thought I was all alone, to tell you the truth, Glenn.
We hear that all the time.
Yeah, and so
People feel like they're all alone, but this is one of the beautiful things about the webcast, is people are finding out that there's people all over the planet that believe this stuff.
Yes, you're right, and it's growing. And so when I had to leave for about 8 years because of my job, and then when I kind of went into semi-retirement at 52, and they called me and said, Cliff, would you come back? And I said, yes, but to make a long story short, I told them, I said, look, you need to understand, I'm 52. I don't believe anyone goes to hell. I never have. I believe that all are redeemed, and I'm going to preach that. So if you can't handle that, tell me up front. And they overwhelmingly said, we want you. That doesn't mean they understand everything, but they knew enough about...
Nobody understands everything.
Right, and they knew enough about me, though, from my prior being there that love was going to always be at the very root of all this. So they trusted that.
The Bible does say God is love, after all.
Yes, he does. And so I've been back 3 years, and I just keep preaching this stronger and stronger. And they're just a wonderful group of people that have allowed me to do this, because I'm not backing off any. I can't. It's like a fire, and I can't put it out if I wanted to. So
once you take that plunge into the gospel, I mean, you understand the power and the redeeming quality of the blood of Christ. I mean, there's no turning back from that. You can't come away from that. I mean,
and I wish all the listeners out there, if they could understand that, you will have such a passion in your heart when you begin to understand this, that you'll want to scream it to the highest heavens. Everywhere you go, my wife and I constantly find ourselves bringing the subject up in some way or another. And I never did that in my early years of evangelistic type setting.
Well, that's what George has said. He just said he never used to, when he thought everybody was going to hell, he just never said anything.
Right.
And then he had an encounter. Did you hear his story about the server in Indiana?
Yeah, he told me about that. That was beautiful.
Yeah.
That happens all the time.
Sure. I'm so happy to be able to tell people, no matter what setting I'm in, and invariably these people have backgrounds in the church or backgrounds in religion, and they have a level of guilt because they're living their lives, and they're not living their lives according to the way that Pat Robertson or Dr. Dobson or all these, Ron Parsley, Kenneth Copeland, I mean, the names, you know, we go on and on. They're not living their lives the way they would have them live their lives, but as far as God is concerned, they're righteous. By the way,
right.
Kenneth Copeland's righteous too. So is Pat Robertson. So is Dr. Jim Dobson.
That's right.
It's a beautiful thing.
Well, and you know, for me, hearing Mike, and I've listened to, of course, a lot of his stuff, but I had been coming to this before I ever met Mike for many years. He helped me put it together. He took the puzzle and made it clear.
Right.
And that's what was so powerful to me. He validated. You know, I'm just this man out here that my wife and I got married. She was 17, I was 18. We had a bunch of kids right off the bat.
That's old school. That's old school, Cliff.
Yes, it is. And you know, I didn't have a chance to get an education except my own self-studying. And so I always felt like, who am I? Who is little old Cliff Hazelbaker to know anything? But now I know, thank God, from the webcast and the internet, that I'm finding out that there's a world of people out there, like you said, that we're not alone. We're not alone.
Well, and you had Mike out there, and, you know, obviously there's work involved in making any kind of plans at all to have somebody come and visit your home or visit, you know, your congregation or whatever. But I think what you're telling me is that it was worth it.
Yes, it was. And I'm going to pay a little compliment to Mike that he probably wouldn't want me to do, but I've just got to say this. My wife thinks she does think I'm all that in a bag of chips. I don't know why. I don't deserve it. But she has always said
she thinks you're fine as a frog hair. Is that what you're trying
to say? That's right. Yes. And she has always said, I don't want to listen to anybody else. There's no preacher that can even come close to giving me what I need except you. And she's always said that until Mike Williams came. And so he's knocked me right off my pedestal. So I've got to. He's
the
man.
Yes,
she did go home with me. Although she thought he was pretty hot, but she did go home with me. So.
Well, Michael's already spoken for you, know that.
Yes, I know he is. And
there was no threat there.
No threat. But I just thought that was that just made me feel good to hear her say that, because you know, it just goes to show the people, if they could just listen to Mike, whether it's on tape or go see him where he's speaking, he is a rare human being. And
well, Michael said that he was on his game in Indiana. He did tell me that. And as George Howell said earlier, you can hear all the teachings at George's website at boldgrace.com. And as George suggested, maybe you beautiful humans would consider going to gospelrevolution.com and making a donation based on just your support of what we're trying to do. But Cliff, we want to thank you so much for hosting Mike, and we'll have to do this again real soon. And thank you for all the efforts, and really appreciate it.
Well, it's absolutely been my privilege to do it all, and I will continue to support Mike and hope everyone else does. So thanks very much, Glenn.
All right, my brother from another mother.
All right. See you later, brother.
Talk to you soon.
Bye.
There's Cliff Hazelbaker from Indiana. We had George Howell on from the Pennsylvania area. Michael Williams is somewhere in between Indianapolis and his home in Houston. And Lord willing, if the creek don't rise, we'll have no technical difficulties next week. And perhaps our third line, but we'll certainly have Michael back next week. So we want to thank you all for your bearing with us during obviously a trying first half of the webcast. Much appreciated. Want to thank Patrick L. Jones for all his hard work. Really encourage you folks to go to gospelrevolution.com this week, as well as boldgrace.com. You can hear the message from Indiana. But please consider what you could do financially. And we will talk to you in 1 week's time, Lord willing, and if the creek don't rise. This is Glenn Klein Online. Shalom, everybody.